Hi, I'm Ali, compulsive overeater. Really lovely to be here. Welcome to all the newcomers and the returners to OA. You're the most important people here, so welcome. And I remember when I first came into OA and came to meetings, and I couldn't even utter those words that I was a compulsive overeater. It was the first time that I'd heard those words, and I was really embarrassed and ashamed to say them. So that for me as a newcomer was really hard at the beginning. But now it's just what it is. I don't even think about it. Here is the solution. So I'm not ashamed of what I am anymore. So I guess with meetings, I have two really significant experiences related to meetings. During my recovery, the first one was when I first found OA. So I was on my second geographical in New Zealand. I couldn't get any further away from where I was over the other side of the world. It was around March 2008. I'd gone there for a year to travel and work. And with it being my second geographical, I thought, this is it. This is going to be amazing. This is going to cure my eating problem. Life is just going to be so interesting and amazing and an adventure. And I was going there to find a man as well. All of that was going to happen. And I was going to stop, doing what I was doing with food. And I was going to be slim and I was going to be happy. And everything was just going to be hunky-dory. And my eating just got worse and worse and worse. To the point where the periods of not overeating were becoming further and further away. And I just felt like I had no control over my eating anymore. And it was just, thinking about a binge, planning a binge, having a binge, and then thinking about the next one and just feeling really depressed and full of remorse and just really ashamed of what I was doing to myself, and just felt so awfully fat and ugly and horrible. And I was a couple of stone more than what I am now. So I wasn't hugely overweight, but the burden that I was carrying spiritually was just huge. I just felt spiritually broken. And so how I found OA, I just got desperate enough, and something had stuck in my mind that I'd seen in a magazine a few years before. And I called up the helpline in the area that I was in, and somebody picked up the phone immediately. And at the time, I didn't really appreciate, what service that involves with, a group organizing a mobile phone and all these volunteers to be on a rota to answer it. And I was calling late at night, and somebody picked up. And I was just able to say how desperate I was. And, immediately I got that understanding. And they said there's loads of meetings, and they were able to point out what meetings there were. But then she also offered, would you be open to two members of the fellowship coming to see you and just having a chat instead of, you just coming to a meeting? Would you be okay with that? And I said, sure, okay. So two members of the fellowship came to the hostel where I was staying, and I was just amazed, they were slim for a start. That was the first thing that I noticed. They were slim. They seemed happy. They didn't have this huge weight on their shoulders like how I felt. And they just sat with me, and they were just so lovely, and they just shared their experience, strength, and hope. And I didn't realize that that was my first meeting of OA. It was, because it only takes two or more compulsive overeaters to be a meeting. So that was my first informal meeting. And what I didn't realize back then as well is, this was the big book way. This is how Bill used to do it at the very beginning. They used to go around visiting alcoholics and telling them about their experience, strength, and hope, and offer the solution. So, I mean, that is just an amazing beginning, because what I realize is that isn't the norm. So I do feel really lucky that I experienced that, although I didn't appreciate that at the time. I just thought, this is what happens. So that was amazing. So they just shared all the stuff that they had done with food. And I think up until that point, I just felt so isolated. I just felt like I was alone. I had tried to share about my compulsive overeating with friends. And although I didn't reveal everything, I wasn't completely honest about all the stuff that I did with food because I was so embarrassed. Nobody really understood, and everybody, you know, offers the really unhelpful information to a compulsive overeater, you know, everything in moderation, just have a little bit, have, you know, try a diet or whatever, do some more exercise. So for the first time, I felt like, you know, these people were really speaking my language and they really understood of what it was like. And I remember I'd gotten to the point where I felt so ashamed that one of the biggest things that I was ashamed of was I had started binging in toilet cubicles, because especially staying in hostels, I didn't have any private space. So I used to take my food into the toilet cubicle and eat. And it was just so shameful. And I really carried that with me because I thought I was the only person in the world that did that. And I remember one of the ladies shared that she did that too. And I was just like, oh my God, what a relief. You know, I'm not the only one. You know, this is just because of this disease. And it was the first time that I'd learned that it was a disease. It wasn't my fault. You know, it wasn't because I was weak or greedy or a pig. It's just that I had this disease, and it was the way that I dealt with whatever was going on in my life, whether I was happy or sad or whatever. It was just my go-to. It's just what I did. It was just my reaction to everything that happened in my life. So, you know, after that first meeting, I went to an actual meeting, and it was huge, a huge meeting. And most people seemed to be abstinent. And again, looking back, I didn't realize how amazing that was to go to such a massive meeting where most people were abstinent is truly a miracle. You know, and these people shared about their experience. And again, I heard bits of my story. And everybody was just so welcoming. That was the first place that I learned that the newcomer is the most important person in the room. That was where I learned that. And, you know, at the end of the meeting, loads of people came up to me and they just wanted to speak with me and just wanted me to feel welcome. And I will never forget that beginning of OA and how special it was. But only now, as I say, can I really, really appreciate how special it was, because it's not always like that. So for me, that first experience was, I'm not alone. I had identification, and there was a solution. That was the most important thing. There is a solution. I have this common problem. I'm not alone, and there is a solution. And then just the second experience that I want to talk about, long story short, everything went well for a while, and then I was in relapse. So I was in relapse for about a year or so. I'd stopped coming to meetings, and I had kept using bits of the program that I found easy, well, not easy, the bits that I liked. So I used to write and pray and meditate, but I stopped coming to meetings. I wish I could be one of those people that said, the only thing I've done perfectly is I kept coming back, because that's not been my experience. I stopped coming to meetings because life was just too busy, and I sacked my sponsor. And I let go of my sponsees, and I didn't use the telephone. So I was still in that isolation, but using some of the tools that just suited me. But my eating just, I went back to square one, you know, self-knowledge avails us nothing. And was fully back into the food. And I decided that I really needed to get back to a meeting, and I went back to the meeting where I had found abstinence, and I was just so embarrassed that I'd put weight on. I really didn't want to go. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get judged. What are they going to think of me? And it was the most amazing, one of the most amazing experiences in my recovery, coming back to that first meeting. And I had seen people that I'd gotten well with the first time round who were still there. They had kept going, and they had good recovery, and they looked happy, and they had that shine in their eyes. And I just really wanted that. I wanted that back. And so that for me was just, I got the hope that I needed to fully return back to OA and get my abstinence back. And I've been abstinent now since April 2015. So yeah, I'll just finish. I know my time is up, but I just wanted to say that, you know, OA is a place where I don't feel judged. I feel like I can be honest about my disease. This is where I share about my disease and where I get well. And just that coming back was just so important for me, to get that experience, strength and hope, and to see the recovery in the rooms. And now I'm able to share that message as well. So yeah, I'm just really grateful to be abstinent today. And thank you for letting me share. I'll leave it there.
Good afternoon, everybody. And my name is Anne. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you all for being here. I can't tell you actually quite how touched I am by that reading. It really, it's really affected me, and also seeing the amount of people that are here. So I will share as best I can my experience, strength and hope of my coming into and being welcomed into OA. I have been in the fellowship now just under 3 years. And a lot of the reading that was asking me, am I one of you, relates. My disease started, I believe, when I was in my early teens, when I started senior school, although I didn't realise it until I was nearly almost 60. I found myself not fitting in at school, not fitting in with my family. And that started the disease in my head, that I was different in a way that wasn't particularly good. And I ate those feelings down with food in some quite insane ways. Started, as I said, at school. I would find ways to find myself on a table at lunchtime with people who didn't want their puddings and end up eating at least six. I would buy snacks from the tuck shop. But I was quite a sporty person when I was at school, and it didn't show physically, but emotionally it had a real, quite devastating effect. This carried on through my early 20s and even late teens. I used to babysit, and I don't know if any of you have babysat, but often people would say, help yourself to whatever you would like. And I'd find myself moving things around in the fridge to try and hide what I'd taken, what I'd eaten, to make it look like I hadn't eaten as much or taken as much, and rearranging things. And how that not belonging fitted in as I grew up was, as it says here, have I ever put on a mask? And I did put on masks, and I did feel that one day, you know, at work, I don't think I ever held a job down for more than a couple of years as I was growing up through my early 20s. And I believe that I left because I was always afraid I was going to get caught, you know, that I didn't know enough, I wasn't good enough, and that I didn't fit in. And the disease progressed, as we're told in this program, until it got uncontrollable. And yet I was still in denial. As I got older, I had some quite serious health issues. They manifested in depression. They manifested in gynecological disorders, in thyroid disorders. And I ended up with chronic fatigue and ME. And I spent almost 5 years not being able to go out of the house, being chronically tired, not being able to move, and isolating and eating. And I blamed all of that on my illness, not on my compulsive overeating illness. On that disease, I blamed it on the disease that was happening to my body. And I always believed that when a doctor found the magic pill that would take away my chronic fatigue, that would take away my thyroid problems, that would fix my body, I would miraculously lose the weight that had been progressively creeping up and up and up. And that never happened. You know, I kept going back to my doctor, I kept having tests, and all the tests kept telling me that there didn't appear to be anything wrong. I spent hundreds of pounds searching for a solution, searching for a way to fix me. And that went from diets to all sorts of insane things, homeopathy, hypnotherapy, all the things that are listed in our book. Until the day I met somebody on one of these attempts to find a cure. It was when it was in the ME, and I met somebody. I went to a clinic, and I expected everybody there to be as big as I was, and it was a real shock that they weren't. And I was like, well, how can all these people have ME if they're not as big as I am? And I befriended somebody, and I asked her, how is it that you don't have a weight problem if you've got chronic fatigue? And after some time and me asking her a couple of times, she actually said, Anne, I do have a problem, but I have a solution. So of course I wanted to jump on it. I wanted an instant fix. And she told me about OA. She didn't really tell me much. She said, go and look it up. And I looked it up, and it took another 3 years for me to have the courage to pick up the phone and get to a meeting. And in those 3 years, I got more and more depressed, more and more overweight, more and more isolated. And I ended up finding myself suicidal. And I have family, but I'm on my own. But I have a dog. And that dog has meant a lot to me. She's now nearly 15. But she spent all of that time when I was ill by my side, not asking for anything. And I always said that I wouldn't kill myself until I'd lost her. However, on this day, I was so badly depressed, I went out to take my life, but couldn't do it. I failed at that as well. And I came home, and she sat before me. I was crying, felt useless. And I truly believe, however strange this sounds, that God spoke to me through her, because as she looked up at me, it was like she said, please don't abandon me now. I never abandoned you. And that was the day that I picked up the phone to a local meeting, and a very kind and patient person sat with me and spoke to me, thank you, noted, and spent time listening to me and acknowledging how I felt and inviting me to the meeting, and actually met me and took me into that meeting. The day that I walked into that meeting and heard the words, welcome to OA, welcome home, is the day that changed and saved my life. Meetings are such an important place to hear the message and to carry the message. It's where we feel at home and safe. For me, it's a place where I know that everybody in that room, whether it be exactly the same as me, there's a thread of this disease and I will be understood. So thank you for being in this room. Thank you for understanding. And thank you for listening.